Morning, everyone. Today is the final daf of the Masechta, daf Kuf Chaf Beit. We're back on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned. Lezecher Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Take a look at towards the bottom of the Amud. A lot of Mishnayos that we're going to be discussing over the course of today regarding Eidus Isha. Again, the 10th parak and the 15th parak were dedicated to the topic of Eidus Isha. In the 16th parak, we're a lot more on the details regarding what you have to actually see. So very delicate and graphic parak describing and discussing what needs to actually be witnessed and under what circumstances can one testify that the person actually died. So yesterday we were discussing different distinctions between drowning and Maim She'yesh Lam Sof and Maim She'ein Lam Sof. Water which has a finite amount of water, finite meaning that you could see the borders of the mass of water, versus Maim She'ein Lam Sof where you cannot see the borders. And so as we described yesterday, in Maim She'ein Lam Sof, in waters without a border, so there's currents, and when the person goes down, it's very possible that the current is going to just simply push him to a different location and he'll emerge from a different location. And so therefore, just because you saw him go down does not necessarily mean that he died, and it's possible that he's going to come up somewhere else. We are Tanya halfway down on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Gemara quotes a brisa. Amar Rabbi Maisa b'shnei b'ni Adam memachmim machmur b'yardin. Two people. This is where we left off yesterday. I think so. One more brisa down from that. Okay? Yeah. Okay, very good. Tanya, we learned on a brisa. I'm a rabbi. I'm a little pamachas. I see my alach b'sfina. One time I was on a boat. Raised this fina acha shenishbara. And I looked at another boat, and the other boat broke. I see my star, tamil chacham, shabam. And there was a tamil chacham on that other boat that went down. Uman Rabbi Akiva, and that it was none other than Rabbi Akiva was on the other boat. Ukishalaysi biyabasha. And then I went to the dry land. Baviyashavadal lefanai ba'alacha. And who was I seeing in front of? Rabbi Akiva. Now, he wasn't supposed to be there. And he was there. So Amartilo Bini Mihalcha. So he said to Rabbi Akiva, what saved you? So Amarlo Daf Shosfin and his Dabinli. So he says the Daf saved me. So when the Daf Yomi started, what is it now? Say 80 years ago? 90? Huh? Yeah, so so Rav Meir Shapiro would quote this Gemara in support of the Daf. So but Derech Drush, the Gemara says Daf Shosfinan is Daminli. So there's a plank of the ship that was there. The Chol Galva Gal Shabala, and every time I passed over a wave, Nenesi La Roshi. So I put my head down. And by the way, the Gemara says, life lesson. Anytime you have a Rasha come over to you, so what do? You put your head down. Meaning, it's a wave, it'll pass. And to which he said, oh my gosh, the Chachamim really knew what they were talking about. Maim She'ein Lam Sof. I saw you go down. I didn't expect you to survive. But meanwhile, the boats were on Maim She'ein Lam Sof. And so therefore, you survived. The Chachamim knew what they were talking about. Tanya the Gemara quotes another bright Sam Rabbi Akiva Pamachas Ha'isim Alech B'Sfina. Another story very similar. Here, Rabbi Akiva was the passenger on the boat. And another boat went down, and who was on this other boat was the student of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir. So I turned to Rabbi Meir and I said, I saw you go down. What happened? How'd you survive? Amarli galtar din lechaveru vechaveru lechaveru. So one wave threw me to another wave, and a wave threw me to another wave. Hachikin leyabasha until I got spit up to the dry land. Amarti ba'osusha kama gedolam divrei chacham b'sham r'maim sheish lamsof ishto materus maim shein lamsof ishto asura. And Rabbi Akiva, watching the how Rabbi Meir was also saved by the waves, so he said the chacham knew what they were talking about. When someone goes down to maim shein lamsof, so the person will in fact be saved. No, I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Right, correct. That's right. Good correction, and I just think, thinking about it myself. In other words, there's a possibility that he's going to emerge from it. Okay, we are on the bottom of Kuch Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara continues. Tan Rabban, another brisa. Nafal Govaraya say Ma'idim Alav Lechafur Malay Nechashim Ba'akrav Ma'idim Alav. A person falls into a pit of lions, and that's all you saw, and you didn't see what happens next. So the assumption is not that he died; could survive. However, if he goes into a pit of snakes and scorpions, so Ma'idim Alav, that is it. snakes and scorpions are not going to be have rachmanas. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra Omer Alfal Chafur Malay Nachashim Varakrovin Ein Meidan Alav. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra disagrees. He says no, even falling into a pit of snakes and scorpions is not the end all be all. Chayshinan, the concern is Shema Chaverhu or Chaverhu. The concern is that he's a charmer. He knows how to talk to snakes. Rashi Yodea Luchosh, he knows how to whisper. He's a snake whisperer. So it's possible that he's going to survive. The Tanakama, now the Tanakama obviously disagrees. Agav Itzitza Maskelei, because the Tanakama says, look, he could be the best snake charmer in the world. But if he fell into a pit, that means he landed on top of the snake. Snake is not interesting being charmed after having been stepped on. And so therefore the Tanakama says, this is it. This is not going to, he's not going to get out of this one.
How about the scorpions? Is it charmer? It's not charmer,
scorpion. You're asking me about scorpion charmers. I could try to answer, but I understand.
What about Yosef?
Yeah, that's right. The Gemara doesn't ask the question. I like the question. The Gemara does not ask, Yosef fell into a pit, the Rashi brings down. Everyone knows this Rashi. Funny, of all the Rashis on Chumash, like this is like the most popular Rashi. Okay, Bor Reik Ein Bo Mayim. Okay,
snakes and scorpions.
Yes. Okay. Good. Very good. Could be. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes another brisa. Nafal toch kivshana eish. You fall into a furnace. So meidan alav. So the Gemara says that's it. There's no way of surviving, and so therefore you could testify. However, liyar malei yayin. But if you fall into a pit, a vat filled with wine, v'shemen meidan alav. That is also, no, sorry, it's not a contrast. It's also another halacha. If you fall into a vat of wine or oil, boiling wine, boiling oil, so that's also it. Mishum Rabbi Acha Amar al Shashemen Meidin Alav Min Meishu Ma'avir Shal Yayin Meidin Alav Min Meishu Mechabeh. So Rabbi Acha says, I'll make a distinction. You fall into a vat of oil, that's it. And it's boiling oil. Because when you fall in, some of the oil is going to fall over the side. And that's only going to fuel the fire. And the fire is only going to get more intense. So there's just simply no way the person can survive. But wine, on the other hand, wine falls over, wine extinguishes the fire. So there's a chance that it'll survive. Amar lo, so he said, Chalasa mechabe v'sofa mavir. So the Gemara says, wine, yeah, it starts off as putting out the fire, but then what happens is that after the wine is consumed, after the wine is burnt up, so the fire gets even stronger. Right? Rashi writes, Shuhu Mavir, Kishanava Adamatoch, no, I'm sorry, Visofa Mavir, Rashi, Derek Baka'a Shemechabin Osabe Mayim, Lios Choseres Vedolakis, Yosemid Bitchilasa. You have a good chunk of wood, so what happens is that sometimes you put fire over the wood to put it out, but if it's not enough, I'm sorry, you put water over the fire in order to put it out, but sometimes the water is not enough, says Rashi. And what ends up happening is that because that log is so hot and so intense in heat, it just simply reignites again and it only gets stronger. So Rashi says that's what the Gemara means. Amar Rabbi Meir. Continuing in the Gemara, Maisa Becha Shanafala Bor HaGadol. Somebody fell into a great pit. Tanya Amar Lola Rabbi Meir, Ein Maskir and Maisa Nisim. You remember back in the Mishnah, Machlokas Shin the Rabbi Meir and Tanakama. Rabbi Meir says that it actually occurred, it happened, that someone fell into water and he survived. And they say to Rabbi Meir, well, in the Mishnah we don't know. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, and in the Braisa, the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Meir, Maisa Nisim, that's miraculous. Look, miraculous does not set a precedent. In other words, it happens, but it happens only once historically, and that's it. So you can't base a halacha based on a miracle. So the Gemara says 3 days he was submerged underwater. So what's the miracle? So the Gemara says, well, maybe the miracle is, and again, it wasn't, I made this point yesterday, he wasn't underwater for 3 days, that obviously, no one could survive. It just simply means that he was somewhere, he was trapped underneath. There was air for him to breathe. So the Gemara says, so what's the miracle? So the Gemara says, maybe it's that he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. The Gemara says, not eating for 3 days, that's, you could survive that. In fact, by Esther commanded everyone to fast for 3 days. 3 days and three nights.
So,
Al-Tochlu v'al-Tishtu.
No,
I understand. No, he was asking about Esther.
The pit had plenty of water.
Agreed. If it's undrinkable, maybe the Gemara is assuming it's undrinkable. So Ella Delo Naim, the Gemara says, well, he didn't sleep. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shvo Shalom, Ishan Shoshiyamim. Malkonos Ovi Yishan Alter. The halach of the Gemara quotes very often is that if you make a shvo that you're not going to sleep for 3 days, it is impossible for a person not to sleep for 3 days. And to shvo Shav, you get Malkus for saying over shvo Shav, and you're allowed to sleep right away because there's no chalos. The shvo does not take effect. Rabbi Meir, my time up. So the Gemara says that's the miracle. The miracle is that he went 3 days without sleeping. So Rabbi Meir, my time, I'm Rav Kana, keepin al gav, keepin havu. So Rabbi Meir says no. There was some sort of platform or dome, or I'm not really sure how to describe it, as I don't have a good visual of it. But anyway, there was somewhere where he could put his head down in order to rest. Varabarna and Deshisha Havu. So the Chachamim say no. It was made up of marble. It was very smooth. There was nowhere to really have a hold on it, so that he could lie down on it. And Rabbi Meir says, no, look, he caught in a couple of cat naps, a couple of power naps. In other words, he slept a little bit. Tana Rabbana Maisa, Bibito Shel Nechunya Chofeshichen. We finish off with a story. The Gemara tells a story. If the story sounds familiar, it's because we saw it together in Shkalim. Which was a long in Daf Yomi terminology, it's some time ago, but we saw the story. Maisa Bibito Shel Nechunya Chofeshichen, story of the daughter of Nechunya, and what did he do for a living? He dug. He dug holes for a living, digging holes for the purposes of collection of water. She fell into a pit. Bor HaGadol, into a very large pit of water. Obava Odila Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Matter was told over to Chanina ben Dosa, Shah Rishona Amar Lam Shalom. After the first hour, I don't know if I literally mean an hour, but after some time he says she's fine. Shnia Amar Lam Shalom. Second hour he says still she's okay. Shlishis Amar Lam Alta. After the third hour, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, without seemingly having visual verification, says, not only is she fine, but she's out from the pit. Amala biti mi alcha. So a conversation that occurs afterwards, he says, he asks her, how did you get out of the pit? Amala zachar shevachal nizdam en li. We had a sheep. Vizaki manigo, and it was being shepherded by an elderly person. Amala naviata. So they said to him, to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, how did you know all this? How did you know the first hour she was fine, the second hour she was fine, and the third hour she got up from the pit? Like, how did you didn't see this? How did you know? So Navi Ata, Amar Lam Lo Navi, Anochi Velo Ben Navi, Anochi. His response is, I'm not a Navi, I'm not the product of a Navi. Ela Davish Asadik Metasik, well, Yichasha Bo Zaro. It just can't be that what this guy does for a living is that he digs pits in order so that there be water. He's providing water for the community. There's no way that his daughter's going to drown in water. Am Rabbi Abba Afapike Meis Benobit Sameh. So the Gemara says, now, although the Gemara just gave a rule that his child won't die in water, but another son of his died because he was thirsty. Died out of thirst. Shenemo Sivav Nishara Me'od or Nisara Me'od Malamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktek Im Sivav Kechut HaSara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exacting in his judgment. Kechut HaSara, like the hair. And even though, generally speaking, a person's child is not going to die on the same thing that he's helping others with, but if justice demands it, so justice demands it. Rabbi Chanina Amar Me'achal Naratz B'Sol Kedoshim Rabav Nara Akol Svivav. Another pasuk that speaks to the idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu was very exacting in judgment, and so the for whatever reason, the Gemara does not give us a story behind the story, but for whatever reason, the child was in fact Chayv Misa, and that's how the child died. Okay. Next Mishnah on Kuch Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah halfway down in the Amud. Afilu Shama Mina Nashim Ameres Meisish Ploni Dayo. If you hear from women saying that so-and-so died, that's sufficient. That's going to be enough enough evidence to allow his wife to remarry. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afilu Shama Mitanokus Omrim Hari Anu Ochem Lespolik Vorzish Ploni Bein Shu Miskaven Bein Shu Miskaven. Even if we hear from a child, you know, we're going to a funeral of so and so. That's also enough information. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava Omer Rabbi Yisrael Fa Bein Shu Miskaven Ubav Vekachavim Imaya Miskaven Ein Eduso Eduso. When it comes to a Jew and his whole purpose of coming into reporting is so that his wife can remarry, so the Gemara says good. That's fine. However, when it comes to Ovi Kochavim, a non-Jew, so a non-Jew can testify but not testify. Okay, I know that was confusing. That was a confusing line, but the way the Mishnah says is that when it comes to a non-Jew, so Afa Pishu Miskavin, I'm sorry, Im Hayam Miskavin in Eduso Edus. If he had intent of testifying, so his testimony is not a testimony. Exactly what that means, stay tuned, as the Gemara is going to explain what Rav Yehuda ben Bava meant by that. The Gemara starts off with Dima Lo Azle. A simple question. The children in the Mishnah were saying, we're on our way to go to a funeral. That doesn't mean anything. All it means is that they're going to go to a funeral, but they weren't actually there. In order to attest to somebody's death, we need verification that he died. All they're saying is, we're going to so-and-so's funeral. So, Vidima Lo Azle, I'm Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel de Karmi, Harinu, Bali Malis, Bodomlik, Varsish Plani. Okay, so the Gemara gives a correction in the Mishnah, or a better way to understand the Mishnah. They're reporting they came back from the funeral. So, Vidilma Kamsa Ba'ama Shachivle. So, the Gemara says, maybe it's the pet gerbil. Now, I say gerbil. Mm-hmm. Mishnah over here doesn't actually, the Kamsa is a grasshopper. But maybe it's the pet gerbil that died, and let's say the gerbil's name was Yehuda. And the funeral was a very sad funeral, and they were talking about how Yehuda was always with us in times of happiness, in times of sadness, and how do we know that they were reporting that they went to actually a funeral? So the Gemara says, "Ba'ama shachiv le va'asik le al shmei de'ka'amei kein v'chein rabbanan avasam v'chein v'chein savdani avasam." So in the report that they went to a funeral, they also reported that so and so, this rabbi was there, and that rabbi was there, and this person eulogized, and that person eulogized, and it's just pretty clear from the way they're describing it that they went to an actual funeral of a human. The Gemara over here is going to help us understand when it comes to a non-Jew. So the Mishnah says he cannot be mekavein. What does that mean? So right now the Gemara is offering a pshat. I'll tell you in just a moment the Gemara is going to not like this pshat. But right now the Gemara is offering the following pshat. In order for the non-Jew to testify and admit his testimony, it has to be that all he's doing is testifying about the death. If, however, he's coming and telling us, oh, don't worry, the wife can remarry, so already now we have to be suspicious. That's what the pshat in the Mishnah is. Hechi yid'ina, and I'm Rav Yosef, Bala Beis Din Va'amar. And the Gemara says, and how do you know? So the Gemara says, look, if he comes to Beis Din and he makes the following declaration, Va'amar ish poni meisi silas ishto, so-and-so died and allow his wife to remarry. And so now the Gemara says, under those circumstances, you got to be a little bit suspicious. Meaning, why is he coming? Sounds like he's coming with an agenda. And the Gemara says that you should be a little bit suspicious.
What if a Jew said
that? So the Gemara, the Mishnah says that's fine. Because the Jew is interested in allowing the wife to remarry. But if the non-Jew is coming along, and that's what he's trying to do, and he's expressly stating it, Gemara says he should be suspicious. However, if it comes to Beis Din and all he says is a person died, that reporting we can accept. Now, Reish Lakish is also going to say this very same pshat. The Gemara says, yeah, but I'm going to tell you the following story. Rav Yochanan says to his brother-in-law, Reish Lakish, I'll tell you the following story regarding Oshia Brebi, who was fighting with 85 elders, who was arguing with 85 elders. So again, his position was, just like we said, that if he comes to court testifying that he died, that's fine. If he comes to court testifying that he died and his wife should be permitted to marry, Gemara says we don't accept that from an Ovi Kochavim. V'lo hodu lo chachamim, the chachamim didn't agree. So in other words, yes, that's an opinion, but not an opinion that we accept. So if we don't accept that opinion, back to our Mishnah. How do you explain our Mishnah? Ela masitzen detan v'ove kocham imaya miskaven ene du so edus hechi mishkachala. How do you understand a Mishnah? B'misiach lefi tumo. So the Gemara now is going to say a pshat, and the Gemara is going to accept this pshat. When our Mishnah says that when it comes to Ovi Kochavim, he has to say it without kavana, it means Mesiach Lefi Tumo. What does those words mean, Mesiach Lefi Tumo? It means innocently. In other words, without any intention to testify. He's just simply providing information without any legal ramification. He's informing. Gemara gives a number of examples of this concept of Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Ki Ahuda v'kamer v'aza man ika bechivai, man ika bechivai. A guy was coming in and he said, does anyone here from the family of Ben Bechivai? Shechiv Chivai, because what he reported is that Chivai died. V'ansever Rav Yosef, the Vasar, Rav Yosef says, okay, they're good. That's information. That's good information. And Rav Yosef allowed his wife to remarry. Ha'uda v'kamer v'azel v'aylila parsha azriza. A woe to the Rashi describes this as Gibor Chayil. He was a warrior. Dahava b'pumbadisa d'shachiv in the town of Pumbadisa, and then he died. V'ansever Rav Yosef itemarav l'divasayu. And either Rav Yosef or Rav allowed his wife to remarry. Ha'uda v'kamer v'azel man ika bechasai. So another incident where the non-Jew came in and was looking for the house of Chasa. Tava Chasa. And the report was that Chasa drowned in the water. I'm Rav Nachman Elkim Achlu Kivir L'Chasa. Rav Nachman says, oh no, oh my God. The fish are eating Chasa. In other words, Rav Nachman was really mourning over this. The wife, the widow of Chasa, overheard Rav Nachman's reaction, meaning Rav Nachman took this report seriously. And she went there and she remarried. No one protested. Now, the water that this particular person drowned in was Mayim She'ein Lehemsof. How the Gemara knows that, I'm not sure. In other words, but okay, the Gemara knows that it was Mayim She'ein Lehemsof. Now, we learned yesterday's daf, with Mayim She'ein Lehemsof, you can remarry in Mayim She'ein Lehemsof. The Gemara gave us, we saw it this morning, two stories, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir, both surviving in Mayim She'ein Lehemsof. And meanwhile, this woman remarried, even though the husband did report to get drowned in Mayim She'ein Lehemsof, and she remarried. So the Gemara says that, okay, so what we're going to learn from here is the following. She can't get remarried, but that's only lechatchila. B'diavad, if she got married, so then you could let her stay with her husband. Igidarm, the Gemara says another version. Insevei Rav Nachman devasayo. So Rav Nachman himself married her off. Amar chasa gavaraba. Isay misa desalikala islela milsa. Rav Nachman constructed the following argument. You know, everyone knows chasa. And if he would have survived, we would have heard about it. Velohi, the Gemara again objects to this argument. This is the second time in the second day where the Gemara tried to make such an argument that a person of notoriety, if he would have survived, we would have heard about it. And this is the second day in a row the Gemara rejects such an argument. Loshna gavaraba, loshna lav gavaraba, diavin lechatchila lo. The Gemara says it does not matter. Lechatchila, one can a person goes down and maim she'ein la himself, the wife should not remarry. But if she gets married, okay. But lechatchil she should not. Hahu avikocham davakamar leili yisrael katos basas v'shadi lechivai b'shabasa. Okay. Gemara tells a story about a non-Jew that goes over to a Jew and says, look, I know Shabbos today. I know you're not allowed to cut grass, but you're cutting grass. And you're going to cut grass and you're going to feed it to my animal, the ilo. And if you don't do that, katlin alach katlin alaploni bar yisrael. And if you don't do it, I'm going to kill you just like I killed so-and-so. And he actually identified who he killed in this threat. Now, there's another series of halachas which we're not going to discuss, and that is the chaybahem. Right? What was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to give up his life? Was he not supposed to give up his life? And that's a whole area of halacha which we're not going to delve into.
That's
not one of the big three. Correct. Okay. What we are going to delve into is the guy in his threat said, you know, I killed so-and-so. Now, do we believe him? In other words, it's an unusual Mesiach Lefi Tumo. Meaning he's not simply reporting information, he's doing so in the veil of a threat. And you know, when people threaten, you know, they try to seem a lot stronger than they actually are. Okay? In other words, they're trying to be intimidating, but that doesn't mean it's true. That's the issue that the Gemara is going to be tackling. In the threat, so is he telling the truth? So Adam Lay Bashali, I'm sorry. The Ilo Kalila Kedekilla Ponin by Yisrael, the Amr Lay Bashali Kedar Bashabis. I told them to cook for something for me on Shabbos, Velo Bashali, and he didn't cook it for me. The Katlise, and I killed him. Now again, by the way, dealing with the halachas which we're not dealing with, he refused. He refused to cook for him on Shabbos. So it's a major discussion why he refused. It's not one of the big three. But again, that's not our focus. Our focus is the credibility of the statement. So va'asal kamad Abaye. So the matter came in front of Abaye. Again, the question to Abaye was, this guy, in his threat, said, I killed so-and-so. Is he believed on that? Is that considered Masiach Lefi Tomo? So the matter came in front of Abaye, and Abaye did not know the answer. So Shiasei Talsa Rigle, Abaye postponed the question for three regalim, for three yantifs. It's an interesting Rashi over here. Rashi first says, why yantif? Because before yantif, there's an asifa, there's a convention of rabbis, and they would all get together and they would discuss halachas of yantif. And so that is one shot in Rashi. Rashi quotes the name of the Gaonim. First Rashi on Kuchav Bezaman Aleph. Rashi quotes in the name of the Gaonim that Yurtzei Shir. That there was Rashi doesn't use the word Yurtzei Shir. I'm sure you know that. But neither does the Gaonim. But on the death of a very famed Talmud Chacham, so they would on the annual anniversary of the death, otherwise known as the Yurtzeit, so they would all get together and they would all hear Shir Lezecher Nishmas, that particular Talmud Chacham. So the Yurtzeit Shir, it's right here in Rashi. So anyway, but he delayed. Abaye delayed in answering. So Amalei Rav Ada Ba'ava Zila Kamed Rav Yosef Dechar Sakina. So the advice that was given to Abaye was go to Rav Yosef. He is a sharp knife. He'll be able to help you. Azakameh Pasha Me'amas Nisan. So they went to Rav Yosef. Right? Remember, Rav Yosef described elsewhere as being Sinai, meaning he knew Mishnayos, he knew Brisos. He's going to be poshe. And it comes from the following. Let's say you're walking through the marketplace and a non-Jew is selling produce in Israel. The Amar, Peres Alalu Sha'ar Lahain. And trying to market his fruit, he says this fruit is the best, it's Arla. Now, unbeknownst to the Ovi Kochavim, so whoever consulted with for marketing, so did a terrible job, right? In other words, Arla is Asa. Not only is it Asa Achila, it's Asa Bahana. So whoever he paid for marketing did a terrible job. But do we believe him when he says that it's Arla? And as we'll see in just a moment, no, we don't. In other words, when he's trying to sell his wares, so he'll say whatever he needs to say in order to make a sale. And we don't have to necessarily believe him. So, V'amar Peres Alal Shalah, Hein Shalah Zeka, Hein, they belong to Azeka. Now, Rashi over here really struggles to explain what Azeka means. Take a look at Rashi. I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside, but basically, Rashi says a pshat which he really does not like, and that is that it was during Shemitah year, and it was a fence around the field, and it was guarded fruit during the Shemitah year. And Rashi himself writes, I don't understand. You're not allowed to put a fence around a field during the Shemitah year. But to say the fruit is Aser, Rashi says, I have a very hard time with that. And you'll take a look at Tosos also later on, where Tosos argues with Rashi on this point. Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. Hein shal netar avayin. I'm sorry, shal netar avayin. It's the fruit of the fourth year, which is also, you're not allowed to eat. You have to take the fruit and bring it up to Yerushalayim, or at least redeem it onto money and bring it into Yerushalayim. Anyway, the point being, lo amar klum, lo niskavin elo shpich mikchal. When the guy says these things, when selling his fruit, you don't have to believe him on any point that he's making. All he's trying to do is sell his wares. And he'll say whatever he thinks is going to work. It happens to be, in this example, he's not saying good, but that's all he's trying to do. Going back to the case of the guy threatening, same thing says the Gemara. All he's trying to do is he's making a threat, he's trying to sound bold and strong and intimidating, and you don't have to believe him. And in this case, not only, meaning you don't have to believe him, we can't believe him. And as a result of that, so he doesn't have credibility. Back to the Gemara, Kufcha Bezaman Alf Abba Yudanish Taidan Amar Mice Bisol. Vavikocham Shach Baderchuval Vekocham Vamar Chavala Yehudi. And the guards reporting now to the Jew, woe to the previous person that I was walking with, Shayimi Baderch Shemes Baderch Vukvar Siv. He died and I buried him. Visirishto. And as a result of that was just Mesich Lefi Tumo. In other words, the non Jew was just simply reporting. and not testifying. V'shuv ma'isa b'kol ha'shamanei adam shayim ha'achal ha'antuchya. Another story. Where they go to the town of Antiochia. There was a group of Jews that walked here previously. They died and I buried them. And again, based on that testimony, so they allowed for the wives to remarry. And there was another incident. 60 Jews were traveling to Beitar. And again, the non-Jew just simply stated, very innocently, the 60 Jews, they died, and I buried them right as they were headed to Beitar. And again, based on that, they allowed the wives to remarry. We're on Kochav Beis Amud Aleph. We are now at the next Mishnah. We can't ignore it, but at the same time, you can't allow the wife to remarry based on it. It's not, that wasn't just him offering information in the context of a threat, just simply does not have the credibility necessary to be believed. Meidim la'ora, nero la'ora, lavana. Okay, well, how much light do you need in order to make identification and verification? So the Mishnah says, not a lot. Or an air, it could be artificial light, it could be a candle, it could be levana, it could be moonlight. Or mesina be baskal. Now one can allow the remarriage even if it's a baskal. Now the Mishnah here probably does not mean baskal in the metaphysical, down ascends a voice from heaven. Baskal, and it will be pretty clear what I'm saying from the Gemara, baskal over here just simply means a disembodied voice. Meaning that we heard someone report, and we do not know we don't know who said it. It's a disembodied voice. Someone stood on the top of a mountaintop and, to the best of his ability, broadcasted to whoever heard him that so-and-so died. So they tried to find the person who reported it. They couldn't find him. So here's an example of a quote-unquote boss call. Just simply means that we heard, but we don't know who said it. But still we heard it, and because we heard it, so therefore we allowed for his wife to remarry. And I said from the very beginning of the whole discussion back in the 10th parak that you don't need actual testimony, you can even have hearsay. What's called aid me p aid. This Mishnah really speaks to this idea.
How do we know that this voice wasn't one of the five voices that are
Gemara's going to ask you a question. Good, it's a good question. Veshuv ma'isa b'tzamon be'echad she'amar ani ish ploni ben ish ploni nishach nachash. Mishnah here tells a horrific story about someone who is bitten by a snake, and he tries to communicate this, and so to the best of his ability, right before he dies, he says, "I'm so and so, son of so and so, and I was bitten by a snake. I'm about to die." And by the time they got there, they couldn't even recognize him. But because of what they heard him say, so therefore they allowed the wife to remarry. This says the Gemara is subject to a machlokes between Beisham and Beisela. My Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, okay, that's great, but what difference does it make? We're always going to go like Beisela. Masisani, Hakamash Malan, the Mishtakach Stama, Dein Masin, Beishamahi. The Gemara says, no, this is very helpful information. If you ever come across the Braisa, and the Braisa says that you're not allowed to remarry based on Baskol, so now we know, now we're more informed that she does Beishamah. We don't pass like Beishamah, we go like Beisela. Gemara first asks the question, how do we know it's a human? Maybe it's not a human. Maybe it's a metaphysical being reporting that information. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we saw the form of a man. We didn't actually see the person himself, but the image of a man we saw, or of a human. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, those shadim, they also look like a human. The Gemara says they saw an image and they also saw a shadow. The Gemara says shadim also have shadows. So and by the way, as I've mentioned already a number of times, the word shade actually is the same English word as shadow. Right? The two words are related. So the Gemara says So the Gemara says, yeah, but a human being casts multiple shadows, and a shade only casts one shadow. exactly what that means, right? We've gone over this Gemara a number of times earlier. I don't know exactly what that means, but there is a way to distinguish between a human and a sheep.
What does Rambam do
with
this one?
Doesn't he? I don't know. Correct. There are many Gemaras. The Rishonim point this out. There are many Gemaras that fully endorse the idea that there's these metaphysical beings. The Rambam, who is the most rational of our Rishonim, I don't know if there's anyone that, I don't know if anyone can trump him in terms of being rational. So what does he do with these Gemaras?
He doesn't learn it.
I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know. The Dilmali didu isle bavo de bavo. So the Gemara says, "Amr Rabbi Chanina, Amr Li Yunus on Shida." Rabbi Yunus on Shida. So Rabbi Chanina was told over by Yunus on the shade, and bavo isle bavo de bavo leisle. The Gemara's answer is very simple. We have a couple. We have a tradition that this is in fact so. The Dilmat Saravai. Now Ben, the Gemara asks your question. Gemara says, "Okay, it's a human." Human being. Mm-hmm. Okay, but as we know, there are five women that hate this woman, that have a natural animosity towards this woman. And so maybe the one that's standing on the mountaintop and reporting, this baskol is coming from one of the five women. So So the Gemara says, Bishasa kan, if it's a time of danger, so then they can instruct, they can write, even if you don't recognize even if you don't recognize the person that's actually making the declaration. Rashi writes over here, what's the Gemara's point? The Gemara's point over here is, if this is all the information that we have to work with, that we have a disembodied voice, a voice came from a mountaintop declaring that this person died, and you're right, and it could very well be the five women, but Rashi writes, this is tantamount to Shasakana. You want to see the Rashi inside? It is Vahachanami. I'm reading the end of the Rashi. Vahachanami kishasakana damya. It's like a shasakana. Shim lo ta'amin lazer, because if we don't believe this one source that we have, lo timsa acher v'tashav aguna. We're not going to have any other source, and this woman's going to be an aguna. And so Rashi writes, that's the Gemara's point over here. You're right, it could be one of the five. But right now, this is all we have to work with. It's unlikely. We're going to call this like a shasakana. Next Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Kiva Kishirati Lenarda Abishan. I went to the town of Narda in order to be Ma'abishan, to intercalate. As we're about to enter into the month of Adar. When's Rosh Chodesh? It's next week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay, we still have some time. Right. Today's Tu B'Shvat. What an excellent point. Tomorrow's Tu B'Shvat.
Tonight.
Okay. My confusion has now been settled. Okay, I'm now. When Rosh Chodesh was a. Right. Rosh Chodesh was a Wednesday. Okay, very good. Okay, everyone here is right. So I went to the town of Nardan to be Ma'abishana. So as we enter into the month of Adar, I was about to make a point. So the time to be Ma'abishana is the month of Adar. And okay, good. So Rabbi Kiva was doing it in Nardan. Nardan is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos previously was bothered by the fact, right? Tosfos early in the Masechta was bothered by the fact that you're only Ma'avishana in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Tosfos was wondering, how is he doing it outside of Eretz Yisrael? Tosfos gave a couple of suggestions. Matzasi Nechemia Ish Beis Deli Amrli Shemati Sheim Asina Se Ish Eretz Yisrael Api Edechad El Yehuda Ben Bava. It's like kind of like the history of this halacha. I heard. Says, I heard that only Yehuda ben Bava is the only one in Eretz Yisrael who will allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. And Rabbi Kiva says, yeah, you're right. That's absolutely correct. Amarli Amor Lehem Ishmi. So he says, I want you. This is Nechemia Ish Beis Deli saying, I want you to go back to Eretz Yisrael and report the following in my name. I can't travel to Eretz Yisrael myself. Right? Remember, the Gemara earlier offered a different pshat in the Mishnah, but the Gemara settled on this pshat. I can't go to Eretz Yisrael myself. The path is fraught with a lot of robbers, and it's very dangerous. Now, how does Rabbi Akiva have free travel from one place to another? I asked the question earlier. I don't know the answer, but okay. Mikubani Rabbi Gamliel Hazakein Shemasina Seisha Pidar Eidechan. I heard from Rabbi Gamliel, right, the Nasi, And he said that a woman can remarry based on the testimony of one witness. And I reported this back to Rabbi Gamliel, and he was so happy. I can corroborate it. And then he says, I remember that people were killed in the town of Tel Arza. And the only way we got this information is through one witness, and Rabbi Gamliel allowed the wives to remarry. And from that point, the halacha then was established and accepted that a woman can remarry based on hearsay, based on the testimony of an Evan, based on the testimony of an Isha, of a Shivcha. Okay, period. In other words, so there was once upon a time historically where they did not accept Eidus Isha, meaning the testimony of one witness and hearsay and a woman and an Eved and a Shevcha, and eventually, and it happened sometime around the period of Rabbi Akiva, where this became the accepted halacha. Rabbi Elazar Rav Yehoshua remained Mesinas Isha Pirei Echad. Rabbi Elazar Rav Yehoshua says, no, a woman cannot remarry based on the testimony of one witness. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Api Isha V'Lo Api Eved V'Lo Api Shivcha V'Lo Api Krovim. And Rabbi Akiva says, not on the testimony of a woman, not on Eved, not on Shivcha, and not on relatives. Now, if you're confused at this point in the Mishnah, you should be confused, because Rabbi Akiva was told by Nehemiah that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that a woman should be able to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. And then at the end of this Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says, no, what's going on? So the Gemara says, "Asava Rabbi Akiva api isha lo v'atanya." The Gemara quotes a brisa: Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Mishum Rabbi Akiva, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, isha nemes l'avigita mikav chomer. A woman can transport her get based on a logical argument. Mana shim shamru chachamim ena manzama meiz ba'ala. The five women who cannot testify about the death of their counterpart's husband, right? The five women are, we went over this just a short couple days ago in the daf, the mother-in-law, the stepmother, right? The sister-in-law. Okay, the five women. So the Gemara says, Neman Zlavigiteyem, they're allowed to bring a get. Remember, the Gemara asked the question earlier, why? Why are they allowed to bring a get? Don't they have to say the magic words, Befanin Echta, Befanin Echtam? The Gemara's answer was, it was actually the Mishnah's answer to the question. The Mishnah said previously, they're allowed to say that because really the get is what's creating the severance. This woman who is extended credibility to say that her husband died, for sure is allowed to bring her own get. Now it's interesting. What did Rabbi Akiva just say in this braisa? Five women can't testify. What about the rest of the women population? Pretty clear. The rest of the women population can testify. So how can Rabbi Akiva at the end of our Mishnah say that women can't testify? Answer, Lo kasha kan kodem sheichziku, kan l'ach sheichziku. So the Gemara says exactly. During the period of Rabbi Akiva, there were two historical time periods. There was the earlier stage of his life where the halacha was that you cannot remarry based on the testimony of a witness. And then, based on the story that we saw in our Mishnah, with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and Nehemiah, Ishtali, and Rabbi Gamliel, so eventually the halacha took hold that during the time period of Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is that you can remarry based on the testimony of one witness. We're up to the final Mishnah of the Masechta. The Mishnah starts off, we're on the bottom of Kuchav Beis Amad Aleph. Amar lo maisa bivnei levi shachu l'sawar, ira tamarim. A story regarding the sons of Levi. They went to the town of Tzoar, a city of dates. V'chala echamam v'yavilam ben pundak. And one of them got sick, and they had to continue going on the journey, so they basically put him in a pundak, they put him in a lodge. Now they on the way back they look at the innkeeper. Now it's a woman, right? I know that because of the grammar. Aye chaverenu, where's our buddy? Nu meis lahem meisu kvartiv. She says, she reports, he died and I buried him. V'yisues ishto, and based on that one bit of information that was given to them, they allowed the wife to remarry. V'lo te'ekhanes kipundakis, and if we're going to believe the pundakis, the non-Jewish innkeeper, so we're going to believe a Kohenis as well. Amalu lechishteke budakis ne'emenis. So the response was, yeah, you know what? If they give not just that much information, if they give more information, then we're going to be believed. For example, the Pundakis not only reported that he died, but here's his staff, and here's his tarmilo, what, wallet? Okay. And the Sefer Torah. And in other words, she gave much more than just the information of he died. He gave actual physical evidence. My great Usa de Pundakis. The Gemara says now, in the Mishnah, what was the argument that they were constructing? If the Pundakis is believed, so anyone's believed. So the Gemara says, what's so bad about the Pundakis? I'm Rav Kana Pundakis, over Maisa, or Mesich Levitu Maisa. So the Pundakis was not Jewish. In other words, she's providing information. Normally a non-Jew can't testify. Here, the non-Jew can testify. So it's if she can testify, so for sure a Jewish woman can testify. So okay, and she says, and this is his staff, and this is his wallet, and this is where I buried him. So the Gemara says that she was not Jewish, and nevertheless she testified. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. In order for a non-Jew's testimony to work, it has to be Mesiach Lefi Tumo. We said that earlier this morning. We're now saying it again. It has to be innocently reported, meaning that it can't be that they're going to Beis Din, or it doesn't even have to be Beis Din. But we are soliciting the information. If we are soliciting the information, that's not Mesiach Lefi Tumo. That's like testimony. And when it comes to non-Jew, it has to be just a simple factual report that came unsolicited. So why over here is she extended credibility? So the Gemara says, Kevin de Chazis Abachia. So the Gemara says, no, it was unsolicited. Because the moment we came back to the inn, in order to recover our friend, so she saw us and she started crying. Before we asked any question. And that in of itself is enough to know that he was dead. And then we just, then after that, everything was just follow-up questions. But really, the information came even before we asked anything. Amr la ayeh chavereinu. Amr la mezu kvartiv. Fine. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisha. Yeah, in other words, correct. The halacha is that when it comes to a non-Jew testifying, as long as it's unsolicited, as long as what the Gemara referred to as Mesiach Lefi Tumo, so then it's believed. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisha. Ma'isa ba'ad namecha shabalayid aliisha lifnei Rabbi Tarfon. Testimony about a woman in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Amar lo b'ni hechata yodeh be'edus isha zeh. How do you know? Amar aniva hu ayinu olchim b'derech. We were walking on the way v'radav acharin agayis v'nitla b'yichu shel zayis. And we were being chased by bandits. And he took a branch, an olive branch. So funny, olive branch is usually the sign of peace. And over here, what did he do with the olive branch? U'pashchu v'echzir es agayis la'achorav. And with the olive branch, he's able to beat back all the attackers. Amarti lo arye yishakoch, or yishakochacha. So I says to him, you are a lion, and I give you a big yishakoch. Okay, this is it, the place in the Gemara, you're going to find the word yishakoch. So amarli minayin ata yodesh arye shmi, that's funny. That's my name. My name is actually Arye. So King Karnosi Be'iri, Yochanan, Rabbi Yonasan, Arye. My name is Yochanan, the son of Rabbi Yonasan. Arye, right? It's his name, it's his nickname, but that's what everyone calls me. Dimikfar Shicha, Liyamim Chala Umeis. Now, after some time, he got sick and he dies. V'yisi Rabbi Tarfon is Ishto. And Rabbi Tarfon allowed his wife to remarry. V'Rabbi Tarfon Labai Bidrisha V'chakir V'atanya. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Here comes another issue. The first time the Gemara brings up this issue. When you're allowing for the testimony regarding Edus Isha, so we know the rules of Edus Isha get bent a little bit. Normally you need two witnesses, one witness. However, for a wife to remarry is sufficient. But still, does that one witness have to go through the regular protocol of witnesses, what's called Drisha V'Chakira? Drisha V'Chakira are the basic and detailed questions that we normally ask a witness when he's coming and testifying. The Gemara points out, this is a machlokas. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa. So So the Brayse over here is going to tell a very similar story, where a person reports to Rabbi Tarfon, we were walking together, and we were chased, and he took the branch of a fig, and he beat back the attackers with this stick. And I said, Yeshakoach. That's my name. That happens to be my name. And after some time he died. Amar lo. Lo kach, Yochanan ben Yonasan de mikvah shicha aye. Amar le lo ela kach amartalach. Yochanan ben Yonasan aye de mikvah shicha v'diktik alav shtayim v'shosh pa'amim. And he kept questioning him, and he kept going over the details two times, three times. The kivan es devarav, and he saw that he kept giving a consistent report. But he said, Rabbi Tarfon is nishto, and Rabbi Tarfon based on that allowed him to remarry. So you see that Rabbi Tarfon just didn't simply take the word at face value, but examined, cross-examined, and cross-examined, and kept going over and over again until he was confident and sure that the report was an accurate report. The Gemara says, Tanaihi, Ditanya. The Gemara says, it's a machlokas, whether or not you need Drisha V'chakira. Ain Bodkin, Aiden Hashem, Drisha V'chakira, de Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Omar Bodkin. And the Gemara says that this is a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, whether or not you need Drisha V'chakira. You need to go over the basic and detailed questions that we normally ask witnesses to make sure that they're giving a full report. What is the Nekuda Machlokas? What are they arguing about? So stay tuned, as when we are Messiah and the Masechta, we'll say over, the Gemara is going to say over a Pshat.